It's Andrew West here in Buenos Aires at the G20 Interfaith Summit, and we're talking human trafficking. There are some surprising beneficiaries of modern slavery, including liberal Western governments. So let's address that surprising question with John McCarthy. He's Australia's former ambassador to the Vatican, and that's where he threw himself into an anti-slavery campaign started by Pope Francis, and Kevin Hyland. He was one of Britain's most respected policemen, a Scotland Yard detective who took on the human trafficking rings. In 2014, he became the UK's first anti-slavery commissioner, and Kevin Hyland is now CEO of Child Fund in Ireland.
These people are being used for a range of things, whether it's forced labour, domestic servitude, sexual exploitation. But of that 40 million, you know, 16 million are in our private economy. Mm. You know, there's a number of ways that people are being exploited, but we're all interacting with this daily in our lives on the things that we're buying, and it's those with power who are actually exploiting that vulnerability.
What is it worth, Kevin, as an industry? What's the dollar figure? Because you've been able to put some dollar figures on what this human trafficking and slavery is worth.
The International Labour Organization say that the estimate of the money that is earned by the traffickers and the exploiters is $150 billion a year. So that's an enormous sum. And yet the monies that go into fighting this are a very small percentage in comparison. So therefore, it's not a fair fight. And at the moment, the criminals are winning. It's a crime of really low risk and high profit.
I want to talk about some of these surprising beneficiaries in a moment, but who benefits from the human trafficking industry? Who are the traffickers?
Well, that's one of the challenges, is the traffickers can be anyone, from people who are wealthy and who may traffic an individual to be a domestic servant or to work in a hotel. So it can be wealthy people that are doing it, but then it can be organised crime groups as well. And when I say organised, you know, we're not talking about a network that knows everybody from the start point to the end. It operates like a business whereby, you know, when you manufacture something another side of the world, you don't know what shop it's going to end up in, you know, a country like the United Kingdom when it's the other part of the world. But you know it's going to get there and it's going to be a commodity. So the networks are loose. Some of their routes have been well established. And also the status of a person can change during that process when, you know, one minute they're being smuggled and they may be complicit in them themselves, and then the next minute, because they become vulnerable, they're trafficked. And that was something I looked at last year about Vietnamese nationals who, you know, end up in the UK. They can sometimes take over a year to arrive in the UK and may change their status en route.
So people who may have paid big money to people smugglers then what, run out of money and have only themselves to sell?
Actually, it's probably a little bit more connected than that, because when they get to the point where they have made promises to pay money, because they won't have the money in the first place, that becomes a debt. And then that person has the control over them to say, you've now got to work off that debt. And then they will end up in some form of labour exploitation or sexual exploitation. And the debt gets bigger and they are controlled for longer and longer. And that can sometimes go for years. So, you know, these are vulnerable people who sometimes don't know where they're going, don't know what they're leaving, think they're going on to a better world in, you know, our developed nations, but then actually end up in horrendous situations.
John McCarthy, you were Australia's ambassador to the Vatican for 4 years and raised this issue. You've warned that there is, if you like, an unexpected or unlikely beneficiary. Why are you naming and shaming governments of liberal Western democracies?
They're getting a benefit out of it. The benefit is used in a wide sense there. But what we have is procurement policies and processes whereby most of our governments don't know where the goods and services that they're purchasing are in actual fact coming from in terms of their origin. And as a result of that, our governments are in various ways purchasing goods and services that are tainted with slavery and forced labour. They are using taxpayer money to pay for those goods and services. That money goes to the criminals. And in that way, they are leaving all of us in a position where we're maybe unwittingly, but complicit. This is a worse situation than what it was before the Slavery Act.
Yes, you make this interesting comparison with 1830.
That's right. At least in 1830, before slavery was abolished in the British Empire, the British taxpayers were not in actual fact paying for the slaves or paying for the chains.
Mm.
Our present position is where we have procurement policies that do not ensure that goods and services tainted with slavery or forced labour are excluded, the suppliers that are like that are not given contracts. We are paying people public money.
And this is for what, the uniforms that are worn by military or by government workers? What is the business?
Well, it can be across the board, but some of the areas would include uniforms, it would include furnishings and fittings, it would include construction materials, and all governments are involved in serious construction work. One thing across the Western world that one finds in both public sector, private sector, are issues about cleaning contracts.
Mm. Kevin, tell us about some of the very specific reasons that exist for trafficking, especially this fascinating but frightening connection between trafficking and terrorism.
You know, we're aware that traffickers are selling, in particular, women who are vulnerable, very often for sexual exploitation, and then they use that funding to fund their activities. And we know, for example, in areas like North Africa and other parts of the world where that has been shown. So this is actually connected to other criminality. And we also know that there are other crimes that traffickers are involved in. But what we do see is that more and more are taking this criminal option because it's such low risk and there's so much money involved in it.
What about that particularly horrifying trafficking phenomenon for human organs?
You know, there's clear evidence, and the World Health Organization, the lead for them, Dr. Frank Delmonico, has shown videos of this where you see what the actual outcome of somebody who has one of these illegal transplants. And that means that the donor will lose their life and the recipient will lose their life because, the measures that are required to keep someone alive after a transplant aren't adhered to. But there's big money in it. And, we see this happening more and more. Again, it's happening in places where there are governance vacuums. If we look at the Lake Chad Basin and up into North Africa, we see that people are being picked out and used for that and taken to other parts of the world. But what we need to do is to make sure that these actual crimes are sometimes about a lack of education, because people don't realise that, you can't just turn up and give a kidney and be okay. We take it for granted, and we may understand it because we understand healthcare. But if you have come from a place where you have got nothing, and the only thing you've got to offer for maybe a few thousand dollars or maybe a few hundred dollars is your kidney, and you've got no other option, you may take that chance. Mm. So it's up to us in our worlds to actually stop this happening in the first place and to actually work to prevent this in the first place. Sometimes I talk about trafficking, that it's akin at the moment to fighting an inferno with buckets of water. And we need to go much further. We need to put this inferno out.
John, what have you been lobbying governments, and specifically the Australian government, to do in its laws?
We've been looking for three things. First of all, that there is real programs that are involved with public sector procurement that introduce a due diligence test down the supply chains to try and exclude goods and services that are tainted with modern slavery and human trafficking. Secondly, we want the government to have arrangements with the corporate sector that incorporates that through their contractual relations. That is a fundamental power of government. They don't need a lot of legislation to do that. It's something that is clear and present. Thirdly, we want them to stop using taxpayer money to pay for goods and services that we don't know and they don't know may be tainted with modern slavery and human trafficking.
Kevin, are governments resisting what seem to be very reasonable propositions? Are Western liberal governments resisting this?
Well, I think they haven't properly understood this. They need to wake up to this. This idea that our taxpayer money may end up in the hands of criminals, and in this type of crime, I think is just unacceptable. The fact that they are now being called to account on this, and there has been some announcements at the UN about that, that, you know, some governments are starting to look at this, but we need action now. We're hearing lots of commitments, but we want that translating into action. The monies that people give to run governments in democracies will not end up in the hands of traffickers and those who are exploiting others around the world.
Just finally, Kevin, I think this all comes down to a very human picture, a very human image. And you were confronted with this on a trip that you made, a fact-finding mission that you made to Nigeria. Tell us about the woman that you met in a very remote state.
When I was in Nigeria, because I was working with the church and non-government organisations, I had access to places perhaps that you wouldn't normally go to. And on one occasion, I was taken to a place where people suffered with leprosy. And one woman asked us into her house and she thanked us for coming and she offered me a drink. She was full of humility and she thanked me for what our nations did, that we came with medicine and we cured her children of this disease. But then her tone changed and she said, but now your wealthy nations are back and you're taking our children and they're being taken to your countries and exploited, ending up being your servants, ending up in your forced labour, ending up in your brothels. And they are now a commodity. And she asked me to do something to make sure the rest of the world stopped this. One of my ambitions is to go back by 2030 and tell her the job's done.
Kevin, after 30 years at Scotland Yard and recently as the UK's independent anti-slavery commissioner, you are certainly stepping up that fight. Kevin Hyland, thank you.
Thank you.
And John McCarthy, Australia's former ambassador to the Vatican. Thanks, John.
Pleasure.